This is Scott Beck with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by brilliant partner at McGuire Woods and leader, Andrea Lee Winna. Andrea's going to talk to us today about what trends she's watching in healthcare currently and what she's watching, what she's seeing. Andrea, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and then tell us what are a couple of the trends you're watching currently?
Sure. Well, I'm a partner in McGuire Woods Healthcare Department in the Chicago office, and I co-lead our digital health technology and innovation subgroup. So I work with healthcare companies across the spectrum on mergers and acquisitions, regulatory compliance, private equity transactions, and particularly in the space of telehealth or remote patient monitoring, wearables, do a lot of data privacy, HIPAA space, and then just generally healthcare IT.
Thank you. And what are some of the most interesting things that you're watching currently that you're seeing out there?
Yeah, one interesting one, there was an article about the DOJ is investigating a mental health startup that prescribes controlled substances over telehealth, which is really important for any developers of digital health solutions as well as investors in the digital health space, because it's really a hot area to invest in. The company that's being investigated is called Cerebral. So they prescribe controlled substances like Adderall, Xanax over telehealth. The patients are not seen by anyone in person. Big valuation, $4.8 billion, growing rapidly during COVID. And so the reason for the investigation is, you know, there's been complaints around licensing, allegations that patients are setting up multiple accounts to obtain multiple prescriptions. You know, there hasn't been any, you know, Cerebral provided a press release that, you know, there hasn't been any signs of the violation yet, and they're working with the DOJ about it. But I think it's still informative for a lot of companies and investors that I think we're now reaching a point at the end of the pandemic, fingers crossed, that they're starting to, you know, the DOJ and investigative agencies are looking into some of these high risk areas in the digital health space. So anyone that's in that space should be paying attention to some of what are those mitigating factors? Are we watching out for things like licensure and too easy of an access, particularly with controlled substances?
No, and that's a fascinating perspective of sort of the just to look at telehealth companies that have been involved in heavy prescribing and whether or not they've been checking enough on medical necessity, being cautious enough on duplicate accounts. It sounds so much like Elon Musk's due diligence of Twitter. Are there duplicate accounts? Are there fake accounts? Are there people, you know, getting extra prescriptions? I mean, different issues, but similar types of things when you don't have, you know, hand-to-hand person-to-person visits to really test and check on people. Are they real people? Mm-hmm. Are they not? Are they people getting using multiple accounts, get multiple prescriptions? And especially in this controlled substance area where this, you know, Adderall, Vyvanse, Ritalin, they're so popular and so many people are using them. It's fascinating, just fascinating. Andrea, any other stories? I mean, that's a fascinating thing, the ongoing and the increased investigations of these telehealth companies. And of course, yes, the valuations that so many of them traded on coming out of the pandemic and how those have fallen greatly since. What else are you watching? Anything else you're watching closely currently?
Yeah, I think there's another similar one that OIG came out with an advisory opinion favorable to entities that build federal healthcare programs to loan smartphones to patients. So this particular provider was giving limited use of smartphones to existing patients to allow those patients to access a telehealth platform. And typically this raises red flags around the anti-kickback statute as well as beneficiary inducements. So this idea that providing some sort of remuneration or free devices or other free items in order to encourage beneficiaries to use a particular provider or receive, you know, maybe more services than they would receive otherwise. So the OIG said, came out with a positive opinion saying that this is okay, and looked at some of the mitigating factors. Some of the protections that the provider had put into place was they were only giving free smartphones to low-income patients. They were looking into whether the patients already had a device. This was, they were only giving smartphones to individuals that did not already have a device where they could use, you know, they could download apps. Limited time use, they had to turn the smartphones in after a certain period of time. The OIG looked at, this is really promoting again in COVID by allowing services not to be in person. So again, just kind of looking at, you know, paying, you know, OIG, DOJ is paying attention to some of these arrangements. And here, for example, giving away smartphones, I mean, you think that this company did a great job of putting in some safeguards, but that's a very high value item. If you want to do anything like that, if you're billing the federal healthcare program, really is paying attention to how are we going to make sure that's appropriate, and making sure we have layers of protections in place. So again, you know, highlights investors, highlights different providers, really, anyone that's interacting with, you know, Medicaid beneficiaries, Medicare beneficiaries, the more your traditional providers, that they can have these kind of programs, just making sure that they're, you know, paying attention to anti-kickback, beneficiary inducement, and putting those protections in place.
Thank you. These are broad-ranging issues. You'll see them in the hospital at home area where hospitals or health systems or other providers give patients free iPads to use as part of the monitoring. And are they really a free iPad for the monitoring? Or are they a free iPad because it's a kickback to the patient? You saw this regularly in the, you know, hemophilia space, the factor space, where each patient's worth so much money, where providers used to give patients television sets or other things to watch their care, to watch while they're doing stuff. And you know, are they really useful for care, or they, or is the iPhone, the iPad, the telephone, these other things kickbacks to patients to get them to sign up with them, you know, trying to distinguish the two. And as you talked about in the OIG advisory opinion, so much care taken to make sure you could define the universe in a small enough way. Really low-income patients, people that don't have, telephones, that they're really intended to be not a kickback, but really meet a real need. And it's a fascinating subject. It reminds me of a return to the 90s, where there's so much this discussion about people giving things to patients to get them to sign up with them. And that's another discussion of this back now 20 years later, but in a different context in the telehealth area and so forth. Andrea, it's always just a pleasure to visit with you. Always brilliant. We had a chance to visit on two subjects today, with sort of what might be thought of as excessive subscribing, prescribing by some of the telehealth companies without enough care taken to make sure the patients really are real patients or needed, aren't duplicates. And second, this issue of, are providers giving patients things of value in exchange for their business? And particularly a discussion of an OIG advisor opinion around one of these things, one of these issues. Andrea Luena, thank you for joining us again on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.